Does your kitchen need tunifying before the holidays? Kitchen Tune-Up will help you select the right service to meet your kitchen goals and budget. Call 810-488-9778 or visit us at kitchentuneup.com to set up a virtual consultation.
All right, this Friday morning after the presidential election, votes are still being counted. More votes for Biden in Pennsylvania. He's getting closer and closer to becoming the apparent next president of the United States. The current president, Donald Trump, last night alleged that cheating is what's leading to a Biden victory, and he wants lawsuits filed. Joining us right now to share his thoughts on all this is our congressional representative from the 10th District, Paul Mitchell. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
What did you think after you watched the president last night?
Well, I think that if you believe that there's been fraud that has occurred in some locations, then in fact you bring forth evidence, you file lawsuits, legal actions, and have votes overturned that you believe are legal. But you don't make broad accusations that it's being stolen from us, from me, from the American people, when without specifics. It's damaging to trust in our elections, and that's so fundamental to our nation. We are a nation that believes that you go to the polls, you vote, and whoever wins is the person supposed to represent you, and you work with that. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I've done both. I understand that losing is not a pleasant experience. It's personally painful, but anybody that gets into this role, into a political leadership role, must accept that you accept winning and losing with some level of grace and maturity as part of the deal, or you're causing damage. We can't have that. That's simply destructive.
You tweeted those sentiments last night and got an awful lot of attention for it, I think because we're not used to hearing Republicans contradict the president, and yet today, last night and today, we're hearing a lot more of your Republican colleagues calling out the president on this.
Well, I think that I've spoken out on a variety of issues where I felt the president has said things that don't represent what I believe my values and the values of my district are, very specific things, and this is one of them, raising doubts in the American people that we can conduct a appropriate election. As I said this morning, this is America. This is not a third world nation. We're not Russia or Venezuela. We're America. We can conduct an election. It's been a little tumultuous with all the changes with COVID, but we can't allow. I mean, there are foreign countries that try to sow discord and distrust our elections. China has, Iran has, Russia has. Let's not do it to ourselves. I mean, frankly, that troubles me a great deal.
If this is the end of the line for Donald Trump as president, how is history going to remember him?
I think history is going to have I think history takes some time. It's not something that's written the day after they leave office. I think that's important to recognize. I think history is going to recognize that some of the policies, many of the policies the president pursued were helpful to our country, helpful to our economy, helpful to dealing with some international challenges. I think we'd be far more effective dealing with Iran and North Korea than we were in the previous administration. I believe our trade policies are heading in the right direction. I'd have done it differently. I wouldn't have fought with the whole world at one time. But we needed to take on China. We need to continue that process of taking on China, both in terms of trade and their stealing of our intellectual property. When you look at the rhetoric and the style with which the president has conducted himself, I think we expect presidents to be leaders of all of us, to be and combative was not necessarily part of the theme that people expected or want, frankly. And that's gonna be a weigh heavily, I think, on his legacy.
We are clearly a deeply divided nation. How do we begin to? And politically, that's fine. If there are half Republicans and half Democrats, all right, so be it. But I think, you know, it's become much more emotional and personal than it ever used to be. How do we start to heal as a nation?
I disagree a little bit, Paul, with your assessment that we're that divided. Okay. I think there are extremes. Absolutely. There are extremes on the left and extremes on the right. I think the majority of the people, your listeners, the majority of the people I represent are somewhere in the middle and just believe that they should be heard. They are heard. You win sometimes, you lose sometimes. They want their concerns to be considered. And but I don't see the world through the eyes of what some media, especially the 24-hour news media, Paul, has everything is conflict. It sells. It gets clicks. It gets viewers on 24-hour news stations on TV, so their ratings are good. But it doesn't reflect the core of America. And we need to all remember that, and we need to support and talk about what is the center of America. And it's not the far-right militia groups, and it's not the far-left Antifa and those folks. So they don't represent you and me or the majority of people you're listening
to. Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And I do feel like sometimes the extremes of both sides try to paint the other side as extreme. I mean, the extreme right tries to paint the left as being extreme left and vice versa. You're right. I think a lot more of us are more in the middle than we are on the far left or the far right.
Well, there's also, it's funny, there's extremes of convenience.
Yeah.
An example. At one point in time, the House Freedom Caucus were libertarian fiscal conservatives. President Trump was elected, and they're all Trumpers, regardless. On the far left, it was one theme, and then it was Green New Deal, and then it changed, transitioned to other things in terms of what they now call democratic socialism. And that's not the majority of either political philosophy. There was a conference call for the Democrats yesterday. Actually, there's audio online. The people released that some members of the Democratic caucus went nuts with folks over how badly their party represented their constituents, and that people lost elections that were good members and Democrats. I know some of them. And because of the defund the police and the socialistic leanings that simply aren't the core of America. So you're seeing a lot of turmoil in the Democratic Party, which ought to happen, despite the fact that they do have some wins. They have losses in the House. I think we'll hold the United States Senate. And I believe that we will see that Vice President Biden will become the president-elect sometime later today, based on where the numbers are going.
Do you think that he might be able to help heal the nation a little bit? And by that, what I mean is, I think some of that rhetoric and the stirring of the pot has come directly from the Oval Office. Do you think that somebody who's maybe a little more centrist, certainly more calm in his demeanor, might be a good thing in Washington?
Well, I certainly hope that Vice President Biden conducts himself in a manner that reflects, as he's talked about, that he represents all Americans. Politically, we may not agree on some things. at home here, my wife and voting-age children don't agree with my political philosophies either. We live together. It all works, you know. But there's a level of respect, and we need to maintain that level of respect, regardless of whether we agree with people or not. And as I said, I've got friends across the spectrum. Karen Bass was one of the members of Congress that was talked about as being a potential vice presidential pick. She's from California. She's a Democrat. And we co-chair the Foster Youth Caucus because we believe in similar things in terms of foster care for children and adoption. I think highly of her as her soul. She's a good person. I don't agree with her on a number of economic philosophies and things, but we work together on issues we can agree on and respect each other on issues we don't. And that's what we need to get back to, Paul, is respecting people even if we don't agree with them.
Talking with Congressman Paul Mitchell. Congressman, have you had any conversations yet with Lisa McClain? She'll be representing the 10th Congressional District after being elected earlier this week. Any advice for her? Have you had conversation with her?
I spoke with Lisa shortly after she won the primary. I called her to congratulate her, to wish her well. And I saw her at a local Chamber of Commerce event where I went over and said hello. She continued with her conversation with someone she was speaking with. She's not reached out to talk further. If she wishes to, then I certainly would share whatever insights she wishes or answer whatever questions and help her, because I think that's the respectful thing to do in any transition. Even if it was a Democrat, I would do that. It's just how this is supposed to be done. But we'll see. So I've not talked with her beyond that, Paul.
if she solicits advice or wants advice before taking office, what advice would you give her in terms of representing Michigan's 10th district?
I'd suggest that she take a step back and assess kind of where she fits in with 435 people, what her interests are, what the needs of districts are in terms of committee assignments, and pursue those and get rolling on those. That she get in place constituent services that will continue the things that we've done. We've been successful at it. In 4 years, we've managed to help our constituents get over $2 million in benefits that they were having difficulty with or had been denied, but they earned it. Constituent services is so important. I recently helped a gentleman get back to the United States who was stranded in South America because Delta canceled his flight and put him on a flight to Brazil, and there were travel restrictions, but his family was here. I helped resolve that issue. I got that issue resolved where we got a special waiver for him to come back to the United States. There are things our constituents need that how you do those and how you achieve that's extremely important. It doesn't get on the media. It doesn't get you on Fox News or CNN. But I tell you what, it makes a huge difference for the people living in the 10th. While back in the summer, I managed to get through all the morass to get a gentleman a Medal of Honor that he was due. He was a World War II veteran. And he just hadn't gotten through the morass, literally. He'd been blown out of a tank twice and been climbed back in a tank. Now, there's one tough dude. He was older. He wanted to get his Medal of Honor. Those are things you can do as a member of Congress that if you put your mind to, and they're lasting impressions on the district.
Absolutely. Rewarding stuff. Important work indeed.
Yes.
Congressman, always appreciate your time. Thanks for your thoughts this morning, and be well. We'll hopefully talk again before you wrap things up there in D.C.
Well, anytime, and we can always chat in and on after that, even though I will have a little less importance in the world after January 2nd. But, I still have opinions. Ask my wife.
You know. We'll keep you in the Rolodex. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Sounds good, Paul.
Congressman, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.